from the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas, it's the Blind Handyman Show.
Yeah,
pretty exciting. Right.
Hello there, and welcome to show number 167, and this is August 8, 2006. Certainly nice to have you with us today. For the next hour, we will talk about building, repairing, maintaining, all designed, of course, with a blind in mind. Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Yeah, Mr. Tom Houston, what in the world is going on with you today?
I don't know. I'm here 2 weeks in a row. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, that's a hell of a thing, isn't it?
You're right.
What a deal.
All the way down in Hudson, Texas, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson.
Yeah, Thomas going for a record, two in a row. What a deal.
Boy, I think it's wonderful. But my name is Tom Houston, but let me introduce the star of the show, ladies and gentlemen, the creator.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
The producer of the Blind Handyman Show, Phil Parr.
Call me the star of the show. Patterson's liable to hang up.
That's right.
Hello? Hello?
Would have been great. I would have done it, just hung up.
Yeah, we'll see you guys later.
He's going to be the star, and I don't
right.
need to
Left
be
the
here.
Scene.
Who needs him? Hey, listen, want to start off this afternoon by saying hi to Max Robinson, who was with us a while ago during Blind Like Me and during American Classic Country. I don't know. Who else would bill themselves as Tube Man?
Oh, Max Robinson.
He actually called in live to take programs.
No, I just saw his name on the locator frame. Tube Man. Nobody else would do Tube Man unless you were sort of a hospital attendant.
Yeah,
I know that's who that is. We'll call him.
It'd have to be Max, wouldn't it?
We'll call him when we get off. We'll make sure that's who that is. I'm sure that's. And everybody else that's listening live on FTP Radio, we are live there. Our phone number is 936-634-9500. You can call in after a while and talk with our guest that we have, that we're going to have. But we have Mr. List Mailman here today. This microphone doesn't sound too bad, does it?
It works fine.
For a 20-year-old microphone that was given to me by a good friend of mine 20 years ago. Tom Houston gave me this. This was
really
used at the Tom Houston School of Broadcasting.
Yeah.
And for singing, it's my favorite vocal mic. So my new mic hadn't come in, so I'm just using this old piece of junk. No, great mic.
Old standby.
All right. Go ahead, sir.
Anybody know anything about cleaning hardwood floors?
No.
Well, here's someone who has a question. Says, what are some good suggestions to clean hardwood floors without stripping the finish? Just to let you know that we have two pets that are not housebroken yet. Thanks for your help, Steve and Shannon.
Man, I think we've been down this road before.
Do we know any good?
I still don't know the answer.
I have no idea. Clean hardwood floors.
What is the, and I, for some reason the name escapes me, but something that you might clean your kitchen cabinets with, like that takes grease. And I'm wanting to say if it's linseed oil, but I'm not sure. In other words, there's a something that you clean made for wood kitchen cabinets, and it would help clean the floors, but I'm going to give them a clue. The doggy odors are not necessarily going to go away.
Yeah, that could be the biggie. Without stripping off the finish, you might have
You might put the pets out.
I don't know.
My first wife, God bless her, used to use on hardwood surfaces like tables, she used a mixture of butter and ashes. And it worked pretty well. She read that somewhere that was good. I guess grease of any kind, Crisco or butter and a fireplace ashes.
My goodness.
And she seemed to think,
what a combination.
Of course, those of you who've met her probably have already discounted that.
Written that off the list, huh?
Yeah, and especially like if the hardwood floor has has slight spaces or where the board
you'd mess it up, wouldn't you?
You might get an accumulation of
hardwood floor that we have, you know, the hardwood floor in the den that's tongue and groove hardwood floor.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's just fake hardwood floor. I don't remember how long ago that y'all were coming around then. I had bones for the dogs, and Debbie was here, and the dogs were in the house. It was wintertime. The dogs were in the house. So I opened the door and gave Frankie her bone, and she went outside, and Charlie grabbed hers and started eating it there on the hardwood floor. And, my God, it cost me $100 to have that little
Because of the grease?
Yeah, because of the grease. Because, you know, you just couldn't. There wasn't anything you could do about it. And this guy came out and treated it, and it took him about an hour and a half, and he finally got it up.
Well, there's the answer. You might need a professional.
In hardwood floors, I guess, you know, you're allowed to damp mop.
Yes.
I mean, we have so many synthetics now. I haven't been around a real hardwood floor in a long time. But, you know, just one of the old standbys that won't strip, it's like spick and span.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that's been around as long as hardwood floors have. So, I would go with a damp mop and something like that.
That's what my mother would use.
Yeah.
Once over, works over.
Spick and span.
Right. Mr. Clean.
Was that their slogan?
That was their slogan.
Once over, works over.
Once over, works over.
Really?
And that's good. That's really good.
I wish I had thought that up myself.
I kind of like filter, flavor,
flip-top box. That was good. You got a lot to like with her. Yeah, that was good. Filter, flavor, flip-top box. There were other only great slogans they used to have.
Oh, yeah. Like tickets to Texas, I thought that Mr. Dave came up with on the list for Houston was a great slogan.
Now, what did he have? What was his?
That was when he sent the post talking about that he had bought his tickets to come to Houston in November for the gathering.
Tickets to Texas?
Tickets to Texas.
Now, Don.
What a deal, huh?
I think that's a great slogan.
I do, too.
Accusing David Farron of being creative is a little over. Don't you think that's a little over the top?
I don't know. David has created a bunch.
We love you, David. We love you, David.
Title for a country song.
We love you, David Farron. I'm sorry.
Ticket to Texas.
Tickets to Texas. I appreciate him posting that. Yeah. Those of you who buy tickets, you need to send those checks in. A little checker
that's right.
looked in there and cried bitter tears last night. Not too many checks in the old drawer. Anyway, go ahead, Tommy.
Instead of steps, I'm thinking about building a ramp on the front of my back porch.
Oh.
On my front and back porches, I should say. Is there any formula to use in calculating the slope of the ramp in regards to the height of the porch? And also, what are your ideas of building this ramp, i.e. 2x6s, 16-inch centers, marine plywood, and decking boards, etc. Thanks in advance, Marvin.
Man, this is a topic that I have given a lot of thought to, and so have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't figure out how to take the... Because you have to cut a board, it has to slant a certain... I guess, you know, the easiest way would be to build it and then just put legs on one end. Wouldn't it?
I don't know. My little brother could do it now. I mean,
are you talking about cutting the angle, the board?
That goes down. Yeah.
Well, you know, in carpentry and all these prefab things now, they have risers for staircases that like step. In other words, they're built. But if you turned it upside down, you have a flat board that you could put... that would go from your porch to the ground.
Yeah.
That's
interesting.
But then just cutting your angle, you know, just calculating, it's the old, Pythagorean theorem, you know, if you want to know how long that board has to be and what angle, you base times or something, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, you know.
Yeah.
And so... what he needs to determine, I don't know if this person is calculating for a wheelchair, Tom would be better to address what inclines his wheelchair is capable of.
We had a response to it that pretty well fit what my brother did with my ramp at the house.
All right.
And let me read that to you. It says the standard for a ramp is 1 inch of rise to every foot horizontally. In other words, if your deck is 2 feet off the ground, the ramp needs to be 24 feet long. Making turns in the ramp is usually necessary. The ramp should become level when it turns, which mine does. I believe the ADA requires a level rest area every 12 feet. So that's the way my brother built mine, and it's up to spec.
1 inch per foot, you said?
1 inch per foot, 1 inch drop per foot. And then mine goes down 12 and a half feet or so, and then it has a little flat, 4x8 area there.
My goodness, how tall is your porch?
Well, it's a mobile home porch.
Yeah,
it's up there pretty high.
It's going up to the door of a of a mobile home.
But it goes down 12, 13 feet, something like that. Then it levels off and goes down another 12, 13 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's real long, you know, if your ramp is going to be super long, you would want to do it that way just because so it wouldn't be just sticking way out in your front yard. I mean, you would want to go, like, to the left and then turn and then go back to the right.
Which is exactly the way yours does.
And
right.
Yeah, unless you got an acre or two of land, you'd have to.
Well, you still wouldn't want it sticking out there. You know, you'd want to
wasting a lot of space there.
It could be wasting a lot of space, but yours is real neat the way yours is built.
Yeah, it
my
is.
Brother can give us the formula on that if we ever think about it. To ask
maybe
him
he'll
when
call
we've got
in
him on
today.
The show, or if he calls today, we can ask him.
We could.
Yeah.
If he called.
Yeah, what a deal.
Ooh, well, we've helped out another person, right?
We have. Just
we have.
Yeah. We've helped out someone else. It's just wonderful how we do this. What else you got?
Okay, here's a guy that, well, I say a guy, it's a girl, says, tell me, clever folks, why is it that when I try to use my skill saw, I get so far, and then instead of the blade progressing onward, it springs back? Am I pushing it crooked? Jewel
Blanche.
I've had them do that to me, but I don't know exactly what I was doing wrong at the time.
I have no idea. I've had my table saw do that, but I assumed I didn't have the fence quite properly aligned.
Sometimes with the skill saw, you have a tendency, and I would imagine it might be a little more so with somebody who can't see at all, to either push up on the back of the saw. More than likely, instead of pushing up on the top of the saw, in other words, where you have the back higher, even though it's got the flat thing and it should stay level. Also, depending on how long a board she's cutting, the boards may be pinching. Like if you don't have somebody to help you hold a board and you're going to cut an 8-foot span and that part you're cutting off starts to drop off, sometimes it will pinch the blade.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, you need saw horses to do that. But remember... Well, you won't remember this. Remember we went over to fix the sunshine house and Reggie was making the cuts, and he kept raising the back of the saw up.
Mm-hmm.
And you finally said, Reggie, you know, let me make that. And Reggie could see.
Right.
Reggie was driving us around in the car.
Yeah.
And he kept raising the back of the saw up, and you finally said, let me make that cut. And because he, you know.
Let me help you out, Reg.
Let me help you out, Reg. Come on, Reg, if you don't mind. Let me help you.
Yeah.
But, Joe, that's what she's doing is raising the back of the saw. More than that would be my guess. But I've had my table saw do that. But I assumed that I didn't have the thing straight in that it had turned a little bit.
It's the material. You know, a lot of times, it's the material. And if you're making long cuts and don't have a way to hold up that end, that can pinch it. And also, you know, every once in a while, your cord will get hung on. And won't let you pull the saw, and you kind of jerk it, and then if you go crooked, you know, from side to side or something with the saw, it'll do that. But I'll tell you that also makes you want to keep a firm grip on it, because I've had them jump pretty good. I've had them do that and really want to get it loose from you. So,
man, skill saws are noisy. I hate them.
Couldn't
they
are noisy.
It could probably do that. It would probably do that if you were pushing it too fast, too. I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you were really trying to force it, and I do hope Blanche is tuned into the guide like I have on her skill saw. It just makes the saw super blind friendly.
Or has something, a piece of angle iron or something to run an edge to run the saw against. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing sighted people can do that I'll always admire. I mean, they can just draw a line on a board. And just eyeball it and guide that saw. Then I've seen Robert Todd do it 1,000 times. Just pop a chalk line and lay that board up there and just go and walk right down that line.
But yesterday I wanted an 8-foot piece of board 5 inches wide, and I set my little guide on 5 inches and zoomed, and I could turn out 100 of them.
See,
and they
cool.
will not vary.
That's really cool.
I mean, it just and you, I could close my eyes. I just if you just hold that guide in the right spot, you just walk
just
along that
saw.
Board.
So
you don't
were
even have to look.
You were doing fascia boards.
I was cutting the way I built my roof. I had a little strip that I needed to put right out on the overhang particle board.
Yeah.
So I needed 4 of them, the 5 inches wide, 8 feet long.
And by God, we got 4 of them.
Got them.
Got them. Huh?
Without a table saw, you got
without a table saw.
What a deal!
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that big nail gun there, big fella?
That big nail gun. That's those two tools, your little staple gun and that nail gun, are just awesome pieces of equipment.
They are. You oiling them? You keeping them?
Oh, every time I change
what
a magazine.
What a guy.
You know,
But it's really funny because, you know, remember I told you the story about that nail gun. When it gets down to about six nails, it won't run. It won't fire anymore.
I guess I always just, before I carry it up the ladder or something, I always just make sure it has enough that it won't run out so I don't have to come back down. So I don't think I've ever gotten that
low. The first time I discovered it, it was the middle of the night. It was when I was out building a workbench, and I was out there because it was hot. It was July, and I was going to – I went to sleep at you know, 7:30 and thought, I'll wait 7 o'clock and get up at midnight and go out and build this workbench.
Yeah.
About 2 in the morning, I cussed that thing. And then the next day I talked to Robert Tiny. Oh, they're all like that. They all do that. All those deer fast nail guns do that. Well, God.
Yeah.
I didn't have any idea. Nothing.
Well, that, right. I'll tell you what, putting that decking on our roof, I've got the roof on the dog kennel probably – 3/4 complete, and that staple gun is just awesome. You just walk, I mean, you just go boom, 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 boom.
If you know where the rafter is.
Huh?
If you know where, if you're decking.
See, I lab it with the 1x4, so I know where they are. I can just go about every foot, boom, 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 like that, and it just,
it'll tack them right
in. It's a fantastic little tool.
It is. My brother-in-law gave me another one for Christmas, and I need to take it back and get it. I'd like to have a nail gun like yours. That bigger nail gun.
And what did he give you for Christmas?
He gave me a staple gun for Christmas.
Aha.
And I've got it.
Well, maybe I'll make you a deal.
You could make a guy a deal. Okay. I've got a brand new staple gun. You could make a guy. I'd have to have some boot.
Well, I was going to say equal value for equal.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
I've already been had once today by a guy I thought was my friend. But I've already spent the money to do the duplex the house on the Sunset. That poor boy, you know.
Uh-huh.
He got to me pretty good. And then another guy. It hadn't been a good day. I haven't made any good deals today. None whatsoever.
One of those days.
So it's kind of relaxing doing the show. Tom, you got time for a quick one?
Well, yeah. Here's a guy that calls himself the Ancient Oaky. You know him.
I know Si. Yes, we know Si.
Says, hi, folks. As I've mentioned some time ago, I'm building a deck on my home. I have put down the plywood flooring and am wondering what is best to use for weatherproofing the flooring. From what I recall, Thompson's waterproofing is not all that good, at least according to Consumer Reports. Any suggestions?
Oh, I don't know. Thompson's worked pretty good.
No, the guy that did mine, and I shouldn't even bring this up because I can't remember. It's Golden something that he used to waterproof mine.
Yeah.
Did he say he was putting down what kind of plywood?
Let's see what he said.
He's building a deck.
Building a deck with...
Yeah, plywood flooring, and he's wondering what's... Just plywood flooring is what it says.
Man,
He ain't gonna be there very long. If it gets wet, it won't be there. It won't make any difference what you put on it, big fella.
I mean, he needs... You know, they make so many good treated, decking materials now just the treated part of that will help them, but then I kind of like Thompson's. I've used it on wooden fences.
Surely he's talking about some sort of treated plywood, right?
Well, plywood, but my goodness,
that'd be expensive.
He still needs a way for that water to.
Yeah, he needs some
marine plywood.
He needs some cracks in the floor, doesn't he?
Yeah,
marine
so.
Plywood is expensive stuff, folks.
Yeah,
I bet it is.
That's going to cost him.
Well, someone on the list said weatherproofing from Sherman Williams. And then a thing called Rhino Guard were real good.
Rhino Guard. That sounds like something you put in the back of a truck.
It really does.
Rhino Guard, that's the deal we used to put on the bottle. I guess not. All right, the phone is ringing. Let's go see who that is and take a little break here. I bet that's Dale Campbell. Take a little break and come right back and do some more of this little show. All right, hang on.
Can you paint with all the colors?
have gathered. We are have a live audience today.
We have folks from,
I guess, from all over the nation. A lot of folks from up in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr. And this November 2006,
we're going to do it again.
We're going to gather at the Sheridan Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live blind handyman show Sunday morning, a live blind like me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night, more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philpar.net. That's P-H-I-L at P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. Say welcome back to the Blind Handyman Show. Don Patterson is here with us by telephone, and our guest today is a gentleman named Dennis Walker. Dennis, how are you, sir?
Just fine.
Where are you located?
In Meridian, Idaho.
Meridian, Idaho. I've heard of Meridian, Mississippi. Meridian, Idaho must be a small burg.
No, it's about 5 miles out of Boise.
Oh, okay. So you're a suburb of Boise.
Pretty much.
More or less. If Boise had suburbs. I didn't realize Boise had was big enough to have suburbs.
It's pretty much all one town now. Boise, Meridian, pretty much solid houses.
Yeah, I imagine like Houston has grown. Used to there was suburbs like Pasadena and Bel Air and all kinds of places like that. But
there you go.
There you go, Shaw.
It's all grown together.
I didn't have him up. Well, Don Shaw is here, and Don Patterson, and I'm Phil Parr and Tom Houston, and we'd like to welcome you to the Blind Handyman. I read a newspaper article about you, and you're quite have become actually a furniture maker, not just a wood maker, but you're a cabinet furniture maker.
Well, or I just make a lot of sawdust.
Well, I think we all do that. You lost your eyes in Vietnam.
That's correct.
Did you have any interest in woodwork before the loss of your eyes?
Well, a little bit. I took, the shop classes when I was in junior high school.
Like they make you take?
Well, they didn't make you take them, but they were easy.
Yeah, you got credit for kind of standing around sanding on a board or something.
Yeah,
that's right. So, other than that, not too much. Of course, I was 21 when I lost my sight. So
you weren't interested in much but girls and having fun and those kind of things, I guess.
Yeah.
Till they sent you over to Vietnam.
Right.
And you were driving a massive piece of equipment right over a landmine. What did you do?
I was operating a bulldozer and hit a booby-trapped rocket.
Heavens.
Man.
All right. But you realized, it said in the newspaper article very quickly, that nobody's going to feel sorry for you, and it's time to get up off your butt and do for yourself. If you didn't, then nobody's going to do it for you, were they?
That's true.
That's pretty
I found that out a long time ago.
That's right. And from the newspaper article, also I learned that you had a nice lady, raised your children. What did you do for a living to support yourself?
Well, after I got out of the service, of course, went to college.
Oh, yeah?
And then I got a job with the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Ah.
I was a benefits counselor.
Sounds interesting.
So, did they teach you Braille when all this happened?
Sort of. Learned some of it, sort of. I never liked reading Braille all that much, but when I went to the VA's Blind Rehabilitation Center in Palo Alto, California. I learned Braille and how to use a cane and
all those fun blind things.
Blind the skills.
All those.
You've been in this long enough, especially with your job there. I'm sure that you upgraded regularly. You were in sort of on the ground floor of the synthesized speech for computers, I guess.
Yes,
you know,
I was.
Pre-JAWS and everything else.
Yes. Well, when they come out with the speech, it was, I don't even remember what they
called it. Double Talk was the first one, I think.
Well, it was Ted Henners who developed it. It wasn't JAWS at that time.
Yeah.
And then when we upgraded that computer at work, we went to JAWS.
Mm-hmm.
So. But since then, I retired.
I don't blame you. I would have done the same thing. But you were a counselor, so you got a degree in counseling in college.
No, actually, I got a degree in business administration.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the counseling as far as educational counseling or psychological-type counseling, mm-hmm. This was more, you know, the benefit side of the VA. Explaining
okay.
How much do you want and when do you want it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, how much can you get, that kind of stuff? How much will they give you?
Well, yeah, what you're entitled to.
Well, yeah.
How you go about getting it. When am I going to get it?
Yeah.
So.
And how much back are you going to give me and all that kind, yeah, of, that kind,
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to your woodworking. You got, your shop is in your garage. What do you have? What's in your shop? What kind of tools do you have?
Well, I've got a cabinet table saw.
Okay. You mean a nice cabinet table saw.
It's the Jet 10-inch cabinet saw.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. What, about $2,500?
Not quite that much. I think they were selling for about $15.
Is that right?
Oh.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A 15-inch planer, thickness planer, a 6-inch joiner, 18-inch bandsaw.
Whoa,
man.
Drill press, router table.
Yeah, and lots of little tools, I guess.
My big tool is I have a 38-inch drum sander.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, lots of dust from that, I bet.
Man.
Yeah.
I guess
of course, the dust collector.
Well, you've got an exhaust, I mean, a shop vac with a dust thing on it that goes to
well,
each.
No, it's a... It's a cyclone dust collector.
The actual system
the
you're supposed to
deal.
Have. The real deal.
The real deal.
All right.
I've got a shop vac with a hose on it, and I stick up to my drill press.
I have a whisk broom.
Right. Yeah, and then shop vac actually works. I can't complain. It works pretty good. When I think to turn it on, most times I'm going, oh, Jesus, I forgot to do that.
Yeah.
I don't even know how a planer works. I've never seen a planer. Tell me about it.
A planer has, you know, like a flat bed.
Okay.
And the blades are above that bed. So you run a board through, and it has a roller on each side of these knives.
Okay.
One, and it just pulls the board through and will, you know, thickness it.
Okay.
So... And you turned over and run through on the other side.
So the rollers pull the board. You don't push the board. You help. Do you help some?
No.
It does it all the work itself. It does.
Does it all itself.
So you just lay the board on there and it.
And slide it in to where it catches that first roller.
Okay, what holds it down?
Those rollers. The rollers that are.
Okay, so the rollers are on the top and the bottom of the board.
Well, yeah, there are rollers on the particular model that I have. There's eight rollers that just roll to help the board roll along. And then up above, there's three knives that spin at, I don't know how fast they spin. And on each side of those knives is a roller. On the in feed side of the knives, it's metal. Kind of a corrugated type metal, and when that rolls and catches the wood, it pulls it down and pushes it through. And on the outfeed side, there's more of a rubber roller that just holds it down and also feeds it through.
So when it gets through this planer, it stops?
Yes.
Sitting on the other side, because I was thinking there'd have to be somebody over there to catch it.
How big a piece of wood will it handle?
The width of the knives are 15 inches.
Oh, really?
If I can get the board straight, it'll run a... You could theoretically run a board 15 inches wide through it.
Right. Does it have like a fence that you can line up?
Guides on each side or something?
Not
exactly.
Not exactly. There's the posts that holds the head up. It'll hit those if it's not going in straight.
Right.
And okay. Keeps it sort of in line, but...
Okay, and they're adjustable?
Yes. There's a crank on it. You can raise and lower it.
Okay,
I think it'll go up to a maximum depth of 6 inches.
Okay, but side to side, how do you keep say you're doing an 8-inch board and you want to keep it straight? What keeps it straight?
It'll pull it through straight. You just line it up when you put it in there reasonably straight and push it into that first roller, and it'll just pull it straight through.
In other words, anything less than 15 inches, 15 inches would be the max. So if you have a 10-inch board, if you can get it somewhere in between this 15 inches, it's going to go straight, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Man, that's amazing.
Sometimes it'll pull it a little bit sideways.
Right.
But usually not very much.
But it's still going to cut off. It's going to plane off this board. Now, is this for smoothness? I mean, this isn't a way of making a board smoother. I guess it would, though, wouldn't it?
Yes, it'll make it smoother. But if you have, I buy the boards. They're not planed down. They're rough cut.
Okay.
And so they're about 15, 16 inches thick. And so I plane them down to usually 3/4. And then to get them real smooth, run them through the sander, the drum sander, and then use a orbital sander and hand sanding to get them really smooth.
So. Yeah. And they say that, and now, since I haven't been at this woodwork stuff that long, but now, we saw that you did the same thing. Every time I go anywhere, to a furniture store, to a restaurant, when I'm sitting at the table, I'm looking at how they put this table together.
Yeah.
You know, my wife just thinks that's nuts because I'm looking to see how they did, how they fit a wooden table. How'd they build this, you know?
Yeah.
Or if I go to a park and see a park bench, I look at how they build this. If I go to a furniture store, I'm looking, how did they do that?
How did they do that?
I do the same thing. And you know, you go to the furniture store and look at things and think, boy, they want $1,000 for this. Shoot, I could make this for $200.
Let me ask you one question. Yeah. Talking about looking at things, I'm standing here looking at a chair. In the top, I'm behind the back. I'm looking down at the cushion. And the back board going across the top of the back is curved. How does one curve that board? What tool do you have in your arsenal?
I don't make very many curved things,
but
there's a couple ways of doing it. In that board, they can take and make the back of that chair out of like 5 pieces, and miter them together to where it forms it, and then they can sand it some. But in most of them, they are bent. They steam them and bend them.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, now, that's what I'd heard, because I'd read a story. I just read weird things. I read the story about how they make toothpicks. And what they do is they actually get that wood hot enough, it becomes liquid. And so, they put enough water with it that it becomes liquid. Okay. It's probably a very thick liquid, but that's how they make little toothpicks. I mean, they're not filing down tree trunks and things. And so they would be, you know, if you steam this board to the exact right temperature, you could bend it, and then when it dried, it would be bent, correct?
Yeah.
Well, I sure wish I had a steamer because I have a beautiful $34, 24-foot 2x12 that warped, and I'd like to straighten it back.
Yeah. It seems like most of the 2x4s and 2x6s you buy are, you know, lucky if you can get one that the ends don't meet.
I'm telling
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
they, yeah
really...
they, you know, they don't warp like you. They used to warp like in the letter C, you know,
right.
across the broad part.
I've often wondered because you see a bent wood rockers and there'll be a piece of wood on the side that will make a complete circle.
Yeah.
And you know that they steamed that wood enough to bend that around there, and it had some sort of mold that maybe they made it liquid like they do toothpicks and poured it in a mold, you know. So, but I guarantee you they didn't run it through some kind of table saw and bend it.
No, they didn't.
Because I've tried that. And you ain't making I thought, man, if you could make rocking chair rockers, I thought if I could make rocking chair rockers, then because I probably have 10 rocking chairs at my house. I'm just a rocking chair nut, and I thought, well, I'll just make a rocking chair, but I ain't made the rockers yet.
Well, you know. I think a lot of the rockers on rocking chairs are actually cut that way.
Yeah, but how do they cut them that way?
Yeah, cut them on a bandsaw or have a jig set up. On a router,
yeah, they'd have to with some sort of a router. And you have a shaper, you said.
No,
I thought you said you had a wood shaper.
No, I have a joiner and a bandsaw, router.
What's the difference in a joiner and a shaper? Isn't that a blade that comes out of a table, like a?
Well, the router. If you have it in a table, of course, the bit just sticks vertical.
Yeah.
And my understanding of a shaper is the blades are horizontal. And you run the board through to make the pattern on them. But I've never really been around a shaper.
Well, what does a joiner
do? What does a joiner do? Tell me. I've never seen one. What do they do?
Okay. If... You know, we're discussing these boards that are warped.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, if they're twisted, you can run them through the joiner and make them flat again. Take the twist out of them.
How would it do that? You're going to have to go.
The joiner, there's a bed, flat bed on each side of the blades, the cutting head.
Okay.
And you run this board
I got
across
you.
Those knives, and it'll take out, it'll just cut it.
Any high places it'll cut
any
off.
Any high right? places it basically will cut off.
They'll be gone.
They'll be gone.
So it would still be dipped on the other side, but it would be flat on one
right.
side,
then
right?
Then you can run it through the thickness planer.
Ah.
You get one flat side.
Yeah.
And run through the thickness planer, and it'll, you know, make the two sides perpendicular.
But if you're building walls, who cares?
Yeah.
But
if you're using it for studs or rafters, who cares?
But when you build, I just built my son and fiance a chest of drawers that's 60 inches long.
Uh-huh.
And about 24 inches deep.
Okay.
So, and the top was solid oak.
Whoa. But
of course, you can't... I didn't use plywood, oak plywood. I used solid oak.
You used a real piece of oak.
A real piece of oak.
Wow. Where did you get one you couldn't find one big enough?
You don't buy one that big.
You can't buy one that big.
So you laminate them together.
With dowels or what?
I just used glue.
You glued them together and then sanded it.
And sanded it, ran it through the drum sander,
uh-huh.
and then hand sanded it. But to laminate them together, edge to edge,
yes,
they have to be perfectly straight.
Oh, sure,
absolutely.
That's what I do on the joiner: is run these boards on the edge through the joiner and then put the edges of the two boards together, or five or six boards.
In this case, it probably took three to make this.
Or four.
To make this dresser top.
Yeah, I think it's either four or five.
Yeah.
You get, usually five to six-inch boards.
Okay, and once you've got the top made, then you do the router thing on the edges. And you do
router it. Once I get it pretty much, sanded.
Yeah, where it looks like all one big piece of wood.
Right. Cut it lengthwise to the size I want and widthwise the exact size I want. Then I router the edges.
And then it's ready to become a dresser top. Now, when you made these drawers, they don't make drawers like they used to. You probably know where I'm going. They used to, you'd see a drawer, and the back of that drawer would have these just really neat little cuts in it, and they would all be kind of tongue and grooved, or they would all be together. What's the word?
Mortise and something.
A tenon and mortise joints, right. But they'd be little bitty ones.
They're dovetails.
Yeah.
Okay.
How in the world?
Line dovetails.
How did they do that?
Well, there are a lot of people that cut them by hand, with a handsaw and chisels. But they make router jigs that you can cut them. And that's how I do them, is cut them with it's a Porter cable router jig. That you get the boards just lined up perfectly, and then you use a dovetail bit. You cut two boards at the same time, and then they just slide together.
And they're going to fit together.
You hope.
So you didn't do, the guy that built the drawers in my house just cheated. I mean, he didn't even make mitered corners. He just built drawers. I mean, he just took two sides or four pieces. And he dadoed those four pieces where the thin bottom would fit in, a piece of plywood or whatever he's going to use for the bottom. And then he didn't even make mitered corners. He just took the two sides and nailed a piece on the back and nailed a piece on the front. And then he bought a drawer front and screwed from the inside through that drawer front into the drawer, the pretty piece on the front. That's a cheap way to make a drawer, isn't it?
Well, that's a less expensive way of making a drawer. When you get into someone making dovetail corners in drawers, you're usually spending quite a bit of money for the drawers.
But
cheap.
But on this chest of drawers you built for son and daughter-in-law, have the dovetail on the back?
No, they do not.
They do not?
No.
They don't. How did you do it? You at least made mitered corners. Don't tell me you made mitered corners. Come on. Did you?
No, they're not. No.
You just nailed them together, didn't you?
I did a rabbet joint on the two sides of the drawers and glued and nailed them together with a slot in the bottom of those boards. Put the bottom of the drawer.
Yeah, dado a slot to slide the bottom in. Now, rabbet joint, I kind of know what that is. You made, so one board was thinner, and okay, you made both.
Yeah, rabbets, just a groove out of an end of a board.
I got you. Where the other board
was. Dado is a groove in the center of a board.
Yeah, you made the sides a little thinner at the back, where the back would fit, would be braced a little better than just nailing them together.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. My wife and I's bedroom set. Now those are dovetailed.
You did them the right way.
Right.
That's pretty
expensive way, huh?
Yeah,
what a deal.
But the kids give me too big of a list to dovetail this stuff.
Well, and then too, when you built your wife and your bedroom set, you had an excuse to buy those router blades that allowed you to do that dovetail, so you already had them.
Right.
It wasn't anything you could buy with your son-in-law.
That's
I mean,
right.
Your son, and you just
put it together and
Well,
there you go.
That's right.
You seem to be doing all right. I don't think you need our help with anything. You seem to be doing just fine with your woodworking. They say that you've gotten better over the years.
I have.
Experience. Huh?
Even my wife says that when we first got married in about 71, and I built a few things.
Yeah.
You know, we still have them around. She said, you know, we really ought to throw that away. It's really not that good of work.
I still have to ask her if I can bring it in the house. Anything I build, I still have to say, is it all right? Does this look okay?
Well, I have a question for you. What is the attraction? Is Idaho your home?
Yes. I was born and raised
in Idaho.
Born
and raised there. What a deal. Yeah. Does it get mighty cold there, doesn't it?
Well, here in the Treasure Valley, it'll get down 20 below, but not that often.
I would hope not.
but it also gets to in the summertime to be 107.
Oh, forget
good.
That.
Oh, man.
Why do you stay there? You need to come to Texas. It's 107, but we don't have any real cold weather.
Yeah.
It stays 107 in the winter.
That's about it.
I've been there in Texas, in Houston.
Have you now?
And, you know, you had to keep your rocks in your pockets and your toes kinked to keep the bugs from carrying you.
Well, you do have to do that. We do have mosquitoes large.
Well, you should come back and join us in November for our Houston gathering.
We're having a little gathering where we guarantee no one will learn anything. All we're going to do is play music. We're just going to play music and eat.
And eat.
That's all we're going to do. And I called a girl yesterday, Tim. She said, well, I'm good at both. Well, all right, sir. We appreciate you, Mr. Walker, and we'll talk with you. And this will run this weekend on ACB Radio, and we're on FTP Radio Live absolutely right now.
Hey, Walker, from
yes,
the Lion Handyman, I'd like to say we appreciate your military service.
We do.
Thank you.
We do. Thank you very much.
All right.
More of the show in just a few minutes. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but surely we'll come up with something.
After this, what can we talk about?
You'd think we'd be, after him, we might as well, after him, the thing to do would be sign off. We didn't even ask for phone calls. There wasn't any point, was there?
There wasn't any point.
All right, let us go just a minute. Hang on, let's take a break. Be right back. Gathered, we have a live audience today.
We have folks from all over the nation. A lot of folks from up in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this November 2006, we're going to do it again. We're going to gather at the Sheraton Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live Blind Handyman show Sunday morning, a live Blind Like Me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philparr.net. That's phil@philparr.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. Well, actually, what the deal was is we had both phone lines tied up because we have Pat on one and we had the guest on the other. That thought didn't cross my mind. We need three lines, I guess. We need a way to go.
We need another line.
What we need... Did I have you up, Joe? I do. Yeah. What we need is a way to... we need a way to take calls on the cell phone.
Or either get everybody to show up.
Yeah, everybody could just show up at one time. All right, if you'd like to call the Blind Handyman Show, the number is 936-634-9500, if you'd like to give us a call. What an interesting fellow.
Yeah, really.
Very gentle, knowledgeable. I love him. I like to sit down and horse one.
I didn't read the article. Maybe you could kind of enlighten us. I mean, briefly, what does he do this on a commercial basis?
No, he just, John, he just makes stuff for his...
For himself and family.
For himself and family, and they're very proud of him, and they should be.
I may still have the newspaper article. If I do, I'll send it to you.
I've got it in my computer.
Did you procure the guest, Mr. Shaw? Excellent.
I did. This someone sent the newspaper article actually to the list here probably 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And someone, I think it was Kevin Doucet, in fact, said, "Man, I sure would like you guys to talk to that person. It'd be a great interview."
And he was.
Someone on the guest found this guy for
us. What a deal! Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Guys like that, and he knew. You know, what he didn't know and was very, you know, didn't try to BS us about anything. I've never seen one of those. I loved him.
Well, yeah, you know, we're back guess. On this, and God, I really hate to talk about him because he's probably listening. Dale Campbell, these guys, you know, have these traumatic occurrences in their life, and yet they just...
Yeah, they come through,
along,
don't they?
You know,
it is
get a hobby, get an interest, get married...
It is more than I think I could take.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking the same thing for me.
I do not know if I could. I mean, it was all right because I've always been this way, so I don't care.
Right.
But, man, having it happen to you at 21, or like Dale was almost 30, I think.
Right,
he did.
Yeah.
And Victor Gouveia that we did last week.
That was a great interview
and he did
last week.
Victor just, I mean, they just told him one day, Victor, sorry, but you're on your own there, Cliff. And away he went. And the eye doctor said, it's up to you and God. And God said, Victor, who?
Right. Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. What a story that was.
It was a great story. Yeah, but I don't know if I could handle it at age.
It would be tough. I mean, you know, then, of course, now I'm, people worry about a lot of things. Now here I am, a senior citizen. So then you wonder, being a partial, do you also going to go lose some of your sight just because you're getting old?
Probably. I would say, yeah, probably.
And so.
Well, yeah, but that's one thing. Like my wife's grandmother, Zeller, is in over at the one on Gobbler's Knob on the way to across the river. What is it called?
No, I know who you're talking
South
about.
South Meadows, Southwood. I don't know what it's
house,
called.
The
Angelina House.
Angelina House. Yeah.
And it's a nice place, but it would drive me nuts.
Yeah.
She's in this room all the time. She's got her television and her talking book in it. Of course, she doesn't want any talking books that have bad language in them because she's afraid one of the nurses will walk in and hear him saying the F word.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, she's, you know, it's that bad. But she's lost her eyesight, and she's helpless, absolutely helpless. I mean, she can go to the bathroom, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, at that time in your life, it would be difficult to retrain. You know?
I don't have that to worry about, do
no,
I?
That's true.
That ain't going to happen to me.
That's true.
I've already been there, done that.
Already been there and done that.
I know how to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And that's a little more information you needed, I'm sure. But I'm not going to get old and blind. I may get old in a lot of other things, may already have. But you know, that guy said his wife told him that he was better now at woodworking than he.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My wife has never told me I was better now at anything. Any of the three of them. After we were married 10 or 12 years, said, "Phil, you're better." No, it's never happened.
Yeah.
But let's check that phone and make sure that it's...
Come on, callers.
Oh,
let's ring that phone.
We have that open line.
We have time, in fact, for one more call.
One more quick quick call. We could take one more quick call.
Are you going to give them that stale old Eddie Arnold album, The First Genuine Caller?
I don't have a stale Eddie Arnold. In fact, Conley gave me the Eddie Arnold collections, Never Let Me Forget.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, that's right.
We'd like to mention that you need to get those checks in for the Gathering Houston. It's going to be great fun. We have
it's getting closer.
It's getting closer, and we have lots of people coming.
Yeah.
Down to Houston, Texas in November. Weather is going to be beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Just like it was last time. We're going to have food out on the patio outside by the pool Saturday at noon like we did last year.
No, none of that Idaho weather. None of that 20 below zero crap.
Great weather.
I don't see how they send that 20 below zero stuff.
Man.
Anyway, what else is going on? What are you, Pat, about? You got your roof?
Got the guy coming here in about 5 or 10 minutes. As it turns out, he's a guy that Emily has known the parents to. He works at Lowe's, and he's doing some really fine work for me. Like, he's old, a plumber, by the way, so he stubbed my plumbing up in the wall in my little pavilion. You know, I had it coming through the slab.
Yeah.
But we needed to get it in the wall and get it all fixed up for the brick
yeah.
man. So he did that, and then we put my roof where 3/4 of the way with the decking on the dog kennel. I'm trying to get that up so I can get the shingles on, and then I'll just be done with that for a while.
That could be
so
yeah.
this guy does side work on yeah.
just side
different
work, thing? $10 an hour, and you can't beat it.
Keep up with that guy's phone number. I might
shall.
Have a little something I need.
$10 an hour. This guy's charging me $20 an hour that's working in the Sunset House.
Oh, man. This guy
that's
is really
yeah.
good. But, you know, the only thing, he's limited in his time because he works 8 hours
yeah.
at Lowe's, and it's not easy there. I mean, he's
oh,
kind
yeah.
of one of their
no kidding.
Forklift operator, stocker, lumber in the lumber deal.
Yeah, but
you know.
The great thing about knowing him is he'll know what they have.
Right.
When
yeah,
you're talking
well,
to him,
man,
you
my
know
plumbing
what...
stuff, he just showed up with it and said, you owe me this. And
he'll know what Lowe's has. If
yeah.
you ever wonder if Lowe's has it, you can call him and ask him.
That's true.
But listen, let me just tell you one quick thing. We're fixing, as soon as the weather gets cool, we get back to the Alaska cruise.
Uh-huh.
We're
going to
start on building the stage on the baseball field.
The stage?
The stage. 16-by-20-foot stage.
And this is to do?
This is to play on.
Hey. Oh,
we're gonna tell the city it's to put seating on for the baseball field,
yeah.
but it's because we figured we couldn't get a permit if they had told us it was a stage. They'd want to, you know, God knows.
And then
knows
you're going to start doing what with the stage?
We're going to start having a little concert over there 2 or 3 times a year. Cooking all afternoon and playing.
I'm all for that.
And playing all day and drinking beer and cooking.
Hey, man, I'm cranking.
Yeah.
I'm
cooking.
Buying this musical stuff right and left.
You know, we're going to start cooking, and I've got enough PA set equipment to do it now. So we're just going to start, you know, 3 or 4 times a year. We'll just cook all day and drink beer and play.
Well, you got the nail guns.
Yeah.
I got the time.
I volunteered you.
I got the time. I can do something.
I volunteered you, son. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's the point I'm getting around to, is I volunteered you boys to help us with this.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Tom Houston, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thanks
Enjoy
for coming.
It.
You maybe if you come next week, we can coax Patterson in there being.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Don Patterson.
My big thing is, yeah, if I ride with Tom, you know, I have to stay till Emily gets home.
Ah, you're forced to sit and drink beer till Emily gets home.
yeah,
I'm hanging up on you. Goodbye.
Forced to drink that brewski.
Don Shaw, thank you, sir.
Yeah, man.
We'll see you next week. I'm Phil Parsi, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.